Happy New Year. Okay, I'm only 3 weeks behind here. But Advent is the beginning of the church year. And this year we're going to be reading from Matthew, as I'm sure you've noticed. And I urge you all to take some time and read through the Gospel according to St. Matthew, preferably in one sitting, but I know that might not be possible. That way, when we hear snippets of the Gospel, it can be you can place it better in the whole. And the new year begins with what we refer to as the incarnational cycle, Advent, Christmas, and then Epiphany, as we celebrate Jesus breaking into our world. And during Advent, we look forward to the birth of the babe in the manger, but we also look forward to Jesus' return, his coming again. And we also celebrate the coming of Jesus into our hearts every day. There's a lot to look forward to. It was interesting being a bit under the weather and ended up watching a little more TV than I usually do. And I discovered that I'm supposed to buy a car, electric at that. I'm supposed to buy lots of presents that I can't even carry them all. And I have to get things for our critters, too. And those images juxtaposed to our question from John today is quite stunning. John asks, "Are you the one? Or do we wait for another?" And John's question is really the question for hearers of every age. More clearly than perhaps any place in the Gospel, the writer fairly leaps over the characters on the stage of the narrative and places the question smack dab in our own laps. What will we make of this Jesus? Is he indeed the Messiah for us? If not, how will we be open to hear and see him as Messiah in such a way that he becomes the very reality of God's blessing in our lives? Now, living in the midst of Advent, perhaps the question is premature. Along with John, we say, give us more data. But when the kingdom comes, it's not a matter of more data. We pray, let your kingdom come, Martin Luther says. God's kingdom comes on its own without our prayer, but we ask in this prayer that it may also come to us. Here, then, is the deep question of faith, the leap from unbelief to belief, and the mystery of God's kingdom at work in us. John's question is also the great why. Last Sunday, we listened to John's preaching and to his expectations that this coming Messiah would really clean house. Now, John is in prison, and we might be forgiven if we join him in his questions. If this Jesus is really the good news of God, then why is there still so much suffering and pain, evil and destruction, or hurt and brokenness among God's creation? The answers lie in our imagination and vision. What do we expect to see in this Messiah, and what will we make of him? If we are to receive this Jesus as God's Messiah for us, then it will call for a dramatic new creation of folks who are made to hear and see in new ways. Our expectations and our hopes need reshaping. Jesus says, "Go and tell John what you hear and see." Such seeing will need to be shaped both by the visions and hopes of prophets, those who have gone before. It will also need to be shaped by what is happening here and now among us. Where do we see the creative power of God at work amid the suffering of this world? Where do the blind, the lame, the sick, the poor have good news brought to them? And where do we find ourselves to be instruments of God's creative power? This hearing and seeing will return us to the theme of repentance and renewal that were part of John's preaching of the kingdom. It's part of Jesus' message to disciples as well. Be not only hearers, but doers, he says at the end of his sermon. Let anyone with ears listen, he teaches in his parables. Many have longed to see and hear what you have and did not, he reminds his disciples. Where do we see the Messiah's promising presence at work in the world? Or do we see it at all? For disciples of any age, such seeing is not always easy, nor is there even any guarantee that it will be for us a matter of good news. That again will be shaped by our expectations. Jesus said, "Blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." To hear and see in this way is to acknowledge that Jesus is indeed the one who is coming as God's Messiah. It is to believe that there is power for new creation in God's call to each of us as disciples, to be transformed by repentance to bear fruits of love and mercy. It is to know that the deeds and words of renewal and hope that take shape in our world because of him through us and through others are marks of God's salvation. All of these are ways of talking about the blessing of God. And blessing is an important theme in Matthew. It's a code word for the heart of God's good news of mercy and grace. His mercy is not just metaphorical expression, but is real in the life-changing and world-changing power of Jesus and his disciples, among whom we are included. Blessed is Jesus' repeated refrain at the beginning of his sermon. The words of beatitude are not, first of all, a call to be up and doing, but rather words of assurance, to know the blessing that is ours in the call and promise of God. Blessed are your eyes, Jesus commends his disciples when he uses parables to help them envision the new ways of God's kingdom. Blessed are you, Simon, he responds to Peter's central confession of him as God's Messiah. If blessing is the key mark of discipleship for Matthew, then its flip side or opposite is offense. Offense is the stance of unbelief. The key question of our lessons and of this Advent season is whether the good news of God's blessing in Jesus will take root in us and produce the fruits of faith, or whether it will be the cause of our turning away. In the narrative of Jesus' birth, we are reminded of the different reception of the good news in a Herod or in the Magi. As we move closer to the celebration, the question is, how will we receive him? Is Jesus for us the one who is to come, or do we keep looking for another or for others or other things that will fill our expectations of what we would like our God to be? Before we answer that question too quickly, we should take another look at John in our lesson. At the beginning of the gospel, John seems so confident in his preaching about Jesus as the one who is to come. So his question now seems a bit puzzling. Several explanations of his question may be given. Already said, maybe this was putting this question in John's mouth is simply Matthew's way of putting the question of discipleship directly in front of us, of making John's question really our own, and thus facing us with the issues of faith and unbelief, of blessing and offense, which are at the heart of this gospel. Another suggestion returns to the matter of expectation and fulfillment. As much as Matthew paints John as the forerunner who proclaims the kingdom of God, still John remains only on the threshold of the kingdom. To judge from his preaching, the Messiah he expects will come with fire and brimstone, with winnowing fork in hand, to exercise judgment, or, as we mentioned here, he's the one who will clean house. Instead, what John hears and sees is one who brings forgiveness, healing, mercy. Only Matthew's Jesus explicitly says, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice," not once, but twice. Is this a Messiah that John or we can live with? Do we really like a God who insists on coming to forgive, to show mercy, to call even the unrighteous to repentance? We think, for example, of the parables of the unforgiving servant or the laborers in the vineyard. Maybe that's a kind of surprise that neither John nor you nor I can live with. How great a promise does God hold out for you and me this Advent season? Matthew's answer is a promise so great that even the least person in the kingdom of God is greater than John. It's a promise so radical that even one as great as John can miss it as he looks for the mercy and justice of God in the wrong key, and so risks missing the kingdom when it comes. But to be able to answer a yes to John's question is to know that we have experienced what Matthew means by the blessing of God. It is to have truly experienced what the Advent expectation is all about in its promise to transform our vision and our hope. Amen.